providing Houston sports radio excellence for 14 years and counting.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here, you are more than welcome to do that. Last night, the Astros win it in extra innings, 12 innings it took. And Yordan came up with the big eighth inning RBI double. So that was a pretty damn big hit right there. Now, Dusty Baker, after the game, though, he said he pulled Yordan. Here's Dusty talking about why he pulled Yordan last night.
Well, like same as last night, I was trying to preserve him, you know, and he, you know, he was sore, you know, and I just couldn't take a chance of, you know, when you're sore, that's when you got a good chance of hurting something, pulling something, and with Michael already on the IL, we just could not take a chance, and you know, him hurt something and be out for a while. And, I mean, he's such a big presence in our lineup and a big bat. You know, we had to protect him.
And he goes on to talk. One of the reasons is he's watching him run on the field.
Yeah. It was a late decision. I mean, I watched him run out to the outfield, and, you know, I'd seen him earlier in the day getting a lot of treatment, and, you know, he had played, yesterday he had played 3 days in a row in the outfield, which I don't think he's done. And today was his fourth day. And that was a very late decision, but, you know, we had to do it, you know, at that time. You know, like I said, I watched him run out to the outfield, and I just thought it was better to take him out of the game. And, you know, even though you're risking the game, I knew his spot had a good chance of coming up later, but we just can't lose him. So, and he probably won't play tomorrow. So, you know, I think he needs a blow so he can really be strong down the stretch and into October, hopefully.
You know, it's awfully important that you keep, this is a guy that had two knee operations.
I'm fine with
you. Listen, if you're going to have a Garcia on a pitch count, 79 pitches when he's given up no runs,
Yordan's even more important.
Way more important.
Win the war, not the battle. And if you have any concern over how, I don't like the way he's running, get him out of there.
Well,
Dusty.
You see, they have, remember, was it last year? I think George Springer had a two homer game or something, and he's out of the lineup the next game. You're like, what the hell? What are you doing? Well, they have monitors that show how much he's run and how much he had run, and you know, and the more that he did that, the more likely he was to be injured.
Yeah.
Coming up, so they gave him a day off. Man, give Yordan 3 days off.
Yeah, I don't care.
No.
This is all the playoff positioning is starting to get settled.
Yeah,
and so at least for the Astros, so. I'm good with whatever Dusty thinks he sees or knows.
Do you fight right now as hard as you can to beat Tampa and to have the best record?
Yeah, I would.
So you're not.
I don't think there's.
So do you
wrong.
Not worry, like you said, about Correa playing every day, about Altuve, about Yordan, about Yuli, about Garcia throwing more pitches because you're going all out.
Here's
now?
What I think. There's 39 seconds left in the half. We got the ball at the 29-yard line, our own 29, and we've got two timeouts. I'm going to take a couple quick cracks and see what happens, and if we hit some pops at about 12 yards, 13 yards.
That's what we're doing right now, actually.
I'm going to keep going.
Because we're in it. We're in it right now. Because you're 2.5 games back right now, and you play them three games.
It doesn't take a whole lot. If you get down 4.5 or whatever, it's a problem. But right now, yeah, I'm trying to score before the half. And you know what? If I sense that it's not going to happen, I'm going to run the ball and get into the half.
Right.
It's the same. Mindset.
I don't want to risk everything. Just run it, going for that best record. quite frankly, I don't know if you're better off playing Boston or New York as opposed to the White Sox. I don't know, especially with Rodon down, with him hurting, although he is going to pitch on September 29th.
I think there is something to be said. Would you rather face tough pitching with your hitting or tough hitting with your pitching? Probably tough pitching with your hitting.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you think about the strength and weakness of the team, yeah, I'd probably rather see a weaker hitting lineup than a stronger hitting lineup.
Well, I don't know who's got a stronger hitting. The White Sox have a really good lineup. They got a really good lineup, and they've got some top of the line pitchers. Although I think they're a little bit weaker on the back end. I don't know that Lucas Giolito is what he was before, and I certainly know what Dallas Keuchel is. So Ohtani got thrown out a couple places last night. He got thrown out at second on a steal, and where he actually had the base stolen, but he fell off the bag. And then listen to this play. This is courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet.
Baller keep coming in. To right, played there by McCormick. Here comes Ohtani, the throw home in time. Ohtani wasn't tagged, but now he will be. We're headed to the 11th. A double play on a throw home. Getting the fastest angel, Shohei Ohtani. Chaz McCormick with his third great defensive play of the game.
Well, you need to stop playing with Chaz McCormick's name out there in outfield.
You can't, well, and that's what Dusty talked about too.
Yeah, that was big, and he's been really working on his throwing, you know, working on his grip with Gary Pettis, been working with all the young guys that came up on their throwing and getting their feet right in position and they're gripping the ball right, and whenever that happens, made a great play in the outfield. Myers made a great play also, even though the ball came out, but he had presence of mind to throw and get the force out at second base. And so, this team prides itself on defense. And, like I said, defense doesn't win you games, but it can certainly lose you games. So, that was a big one to win right there.
That's a huge play right there. Bases loaded, 10th inning. And Shohei Ohtani on third. Holy crap. And you throw him out. And he is their fastest guy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. That's just big. That is big. And it keeps you, relatively speaking, the Astros would have still been in a great spot if they lose that baseball game. But they're in an even better spot now, obviously, with that win. I'm telling you. And McCormick has three hits. You want to talk about tough decisions? I've never seen anything like this. You don't even know who your starting team is because you got so many young guys stepping up and playing so well.
Fourth outfielder has been a problem. Fifth has been impossible. You just haven't really had a quality fifth outfielder like that. You're talking about so much now. So much. I don't know. You're right. And the good thing is Jake and Chaz McCormick can both defend, so that's not really an issue. Jake has really good speed. I mean, Siri is fast. He can steal a lot of bases for you. So it is tough. It is tough. Aledmo Mestiz, I don't see how Marwin plays. He's a veteran. I get that.
Yeah.
But when you look at the pop, the speed, when you factor in power, speed, and defense, I don't know how Marwin is going to be able to crack that code. Which is fine with me. I don't care. He hasn't been with the team most of the year.
No. I'm telling you, it's a great problem to have, but it is a problem. Who you're going to be playing, who you're keeping on the roster, pitching-wise, starter, who's going to start your four games. I mean, every single question. The only thing is that is your core. You know your core, your seven guys that are going to be there. Your eight guys. You don't know who center field is. You don't know what your starting rotation is, and you don't know what your back end is. So those are big questions for a postseason team, any way you go, it's actually a win because you got guys that are performing so well. Now maybe not in the bullpen, but as far as hitting and on the field goes. 713-780-3776. Pat 40 joins us bottom of the hour. Dana Holgorsen in about a half hour, a little over a half hour from now here on ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. When we come back, I want to get into Nick Saban. Got a little testy at a press conference. So there's another coach who is trolling who is trolling Nick Saban. So I want to get to that. And Nick Saban is getting feisty at press conferences. So it's always fun, cringeworthy stuff when Nick Saban starts to get on people at press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know. Dave's Hot Chicken is coming. I went to...
not today.
Miko's? No, it's not coming today. You know what?
You're not a hot chicken guy?
No. It's just let's just make it as hot as we can, and then it's chicken.
Well, I'm not out for having a contest to see if you can make it where it doesn't taste so good.
I think Dell's stupid. So
Okay, same.
Okay. So, I mean, I like spicy chicken, don't get me wrong, but, oh, let's just make it so hot that you can't even enjoy it. It's stupid. So Dave's Hot Chicken, it's going to be opening on this Friday.
Where's Dave's? What is Dave's?
12161 Westheimer. Dave's Hot Chicken is from Nashville.
Oh, is this a big deal?
I don't know. I guess it is. I guess so, but I'm not.
Stevie D on today?
I think Dell is stupid, so.
Yeah, we can ask Stevie D and Eric Sandler about it today.
Yeah.
He might know about it.
Yeah, they're going to be on with us, so we'll ask them
about it. I don't know if Eric will be on today, but.
Dave's Hot Chicken. We'll see.
If they brought sandwiches, I'm not going to not eat them.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not trying to have a contest to see how hot chicken makes
chicken. That's what they try to do, too. Yeah. I mean, I like spicy, just like I'm from Lafayette. What do you want me to do? I love spicy food. So
I think this conversation isn't going to get them to encourage them to bring us sandwiches.
Well, no, I enjoy a good hot chicken sandwich. Don't get me wrong, but if you're just trying to make it so that it's so hot that look how hot ours is, you know what? That's not taste. That's just being stupid, like Dough. So you got Nick Saban ready? Here is Nick Saban, and I love this. This is so. Here's Nick Saban with the media, just being an a-hole.
Any of you play sports? I mean, the coach is supposed to play the best players, right? And then it's up to the players to do what they're supposed to do, so they get to play because they become one of the best players. So that's what he's doing now. But I don't know. Maybe if you didn't play, maybe. That's not quite yet.
Good answer.
So to answer your question, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
The age-old question of there are a lot of people in the media that haven't played sports but now a lot of the media is made up of people who have and get some of the stuff that Nick. But Nick, I mean, ask him a question about why is this guy playing or. Have any of you played sports? Nah, Nick, stop being an a-hole.
Yeah.
I know you can't help it. I know you can't help it, but just please. What are you getting pissed off about? You got a bajillion dollars. You got 12 national titles, whatever you got. What are you getting upset about? Some grad student asking you? Or some student from paper asking you about why this guy is playing.
You know what's making him salty?
Beating Florida by two?
Bill O'Brien being the first OC to go 3-and-out, 3 straight drives for like a billion years at Alabama or not getting 400 total yards. I'm telling you, you better be happy you're up there on the booth, OB. Because what would happen? I guarantee this is
why. You know he heard it over the headset, though.
No question. So you see Lane Kiffin get the ass chewing on the sideline. Brian Daboll, there's video of him when he took over and he caught the ass chewing. I will bet you that Bill O'Brien is fully aware of that, knows that he is a hothead, and this is smart. Bill knows his weaknesses. He is very impulsive and a hothead himself, and he doesn't want as I say this out loud, I really actually believe this. Bill O'Brien does not want the opportunity where Nick Saban starts yelling at him Bill O'Brien loses his cool because he's in coaching rehab right now.
Yep.
He doesn't need that. So if he's going to get yelled at, it's better that Nick Saban does it on the phone or whatever, or on the headset where you don't know who he's talking to. Because if he does it to Bill O'Brien in person, Bill O'Brien's liable to chunk a forearm or start screaming, "Why are you so mad? Why are you so mad?" That's what he's, "I don't even know what you do, Nick Saban."
Because we're 3 and out. That's why I'm so mad.
And I'm trying to move the ball, all right, and win games. Have you ever even coached? Have you even coached a game?
Well, yeah, yeah, I was head. You hired me. So yeah, I have coached. So Lane Kiffin continues to troll. Lane Kiffin is a force of nature. He's out of control. Lane Kiffin's been out of control forever. He uses his Twitter to troll. Did you see what he did this week? South Carolina, Shane Beamer, the head coach at Georgia, head coach South Carolina, they got rolled.
Well, they got rolled. You see who their quarterback was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the graduate transfer.
Yeah, graduate transfer. No, he was an assistant. He was a
graduate assistant.
Graduate assistant.
Yeah, the GA.
That they said, go put some pads on.
Hey.
And that's their quarterback.
You think he can play? Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I used to play.
Yeah, I played.
I played last year, actually. Okay.
Well, you're our best option.
Too. Ooh. Well, I thought I was graduate assistant. No.
How does South Carolina not have quarterbacks? I don't get it.
They should. Here's what Shane Beamer said. Shane Beamer goes, somebody asked him about, you know, taking on Georgia's defense. He goes, they got like what did they do to slow you down? They held you under 300 yards of offense. What exactly did they do schematically to stop you? He goes, and Shane Beamer says, they got like 100 five-star football players on their defense. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds that runs better than everybody on this phone call. They've got five-star defensive backs. They're big, physical, and fast. Other than that, they're really freaking good. That's why they have the top defense in the country. They're hard to run the football on. So there weren't some magical scheme they came out with tonight. They've got five-star recruits everywhere, and they play really physical. Damn. You know what? Lane Kiffin saw that. He watched that video. There's a video of it on the checkdown. He retweeted. He quote tweeted and just said, have you ever played Alabama football? He tagged Alabama. He goes, have you ever played at Alabama football? I mean, now he's talking about Nick Saban. He says, this is what he wants. Lane Kiffin said, the former employee, you know, he and Nick did not end on good terms. And by the way, I have a good authority from a coach who was actually being called and hired to coach on his staff at University of Houston. Lane Kiffin was the head coach at U of H, and Tillman came in and shut that down and said, nope, it's going to be Major. Lane was going to be head coach at University of Houston. Coaches were getting called from Lane saying, I want you on my staff. A good friend of mine who's an agent.
Long would Lane have stayed here?
Now, that's about as long as Major.
Yeah. Well, but Major, you got maybe shown wins the door. Lane would have gone, would have snuck out the back.
Maybe not giving up 70 points to Army.
Yeah, that would have helped.
Maybe.
So,
but no, I think the concern was Lane wasn't going to stick around long term. But I think if you're Houston, you're going to have to realize, I mean, Dana is an unusual situation where a Power 5 guy came to a Group of 5. I mean, that's the only time it's happened where a guy willingly did that.
No.
It's not?
No, Tommy Tuberville.
Oh, yeah, to Cincinnati.
Yep,
Tubbs. Tubbs left in the middle of a dinner with a recruit. Yeah, like, yeah. Later.
I'll see ya.
Where's Tuberville? I can't find him. But I think Houston should just worry about win as many games you can. And if you're the stepping stone program, then you are. But just keep winning. Because guess what? Luke Fick won't stay in Cincinnati forever.
But listen, that Lane Kiffin tweeting that to South Carolina, here's Vic Fangio. Denver played Jackson. You think Nick's not in everybody's head? Denver played Jacksonville, and Vic Fangio, if you didn't know Urban Meyer, they met at midfield before the game, and here was their exchange.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, you know, shook his hand before the game and after the game, and his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL, you know? And that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
That is
well.
So...
I don't. Now wait a minute. So Vic Fangio. That was Vic Fangio's take from that.
That's Denver.
That's not. Yeah. That's not what Urban Meyer was saying. Urban Meyer wasn't saying, oh, everybody can beat everybody. Urban Meyer was saying, holy crap, everybody is really, really good here, and I can't beat them.
No, I think Vic knew that. I think Vic's point was, yeah, Everyone can beat everyone in this league. Like, it's,
well, everybody's got all the Alabama talent. Everyone's much talent as Alabama does.
The fact that Urban Meyer didn't know that should be incredibly unsettling. And this is why coaches in the NFL, my dad would always tell me this. He said, it's so hard. How many times have you talked to NFL people on this show or in person? They say, it's so hard to win a game.
Hard.
They say this, and it's like you laugh about it. It's so hard. But they'll tell you, it's so hard. Well, 10 wins is a good season.
Bill O'Brien said, it's the hardest thing to do in sports. And I'm like, no, it's not. Everybody, a team wins every week. It's 50-50. That's not the hardest thing to do in sports.
Well,
hardest thing to do in sports is birdie. That's it. Is to get an eagle.
Well, I think his point what's a good winning percentage? 11-5, right?
A good winning percentage in the NFL?
What has it been? I know there's 17 games now. What's a good winning percentage?
9-6 is 600. You know, I mean, 9-6. Yeah, if you're playing 600 football, that's good in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you, well, the Buffalo Bills played 800.
There's another game. But
they played 800.
Two games now.
800 football. Pittsburgh Steelers played 700 football. You actually don't play that in baseball.
No. Like, you don't play close
baseball,
to that.
You
no.
don't get to that. Basketball, you can.
Yeah.
Baseball, you don't.
Hardest thing to do in the world is win baseball games.
But I think the point is, though, that it is, and my dad used to tell me this, it is so hard to win in the league. Every week you perform, because you got injuries that can decimate you. Now you got COVID. You know, every coach tell you it's the hardest thing is to try to win games. And Urban Meyer, you know, it's a treat when he's got two hard games a year at Ohio State.
Right.
Two hard games a year. Urban Meyer's going to catch ass kickings all year long. And the fact that he doesn't know this is why college coaches, they really should reconsider going to the pros.
All right. We'll talk to Pat Forty about some of this stuff on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But look, first, I want to talk about Doc Linville. The hardest thing in the world is to grow hair when you don't have hair. That's the hardest thing in the world. But here's the deal. If your hair is falling out, and you know what's pretty easy is the Neo grafting from Doc Linville. Doc Linville is awesome. Doc Linville has given me a new life. I mean, he didn't save my life per se. He's a hero to me, but he didn't really save my life because I wasn't dying from lack of hair. But I'll tell you this, my life is a lot better because of Doc Linville and my hair. So if you're somebody that wants to have hair and a better life, of course you could have your life right now. It's terrible without hair. But if you want hair, and you want Doc Linville to do it for you, and you want it to be awesome and easy, and, you know, I'm telling you, you will love this process. It's simple. And all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. You'll meet Doc Linville. He'll give you the consultation. He'll tell you what he needs to do, and he'll get this job done. Go to 975hair.com. Stop living a miserable life. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Very talented. They're a little bit like us in the fact that they can play a lot of people. You know, you want to stay out of third and long. They have nice third down package on defense, and they have some pass rushes they can get home, which they've proven it this year. So, you know, we're going to have to do a good job on first down, trying to stay out of third and long. And we have to have a really good package on third and long if we're in it. We can't just go, well, we're not going to get in it. And then next thing you know, it's third and 10. We have to prepare to stay out of it. And then if we get into third and long, we have to be able to convert. And that's hard to do because they have a nice third down package.
That's Sam Pittman. Against Texas A&M, and joining us right now to talk about that and a whole lot more college football, Pat Forty. He covers the college football scene. He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, and he's presented to you each week by the Rotary Lombardi Award, which is here in Houston every year, and a really big event and a great event. The Rotary Lombardi Awards, bringing you Pat Forty. Pat, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Good to be with you.
So, you know, Arkansas is going to run the football. I'll tell you this. Even when Arkansas wasn't very good, Pat, these games against Texas A&M, you look at the history of this, it'd be overtime or it's tough. These were always hard-fought games in Jerry's world or up in Dallas. And this year now, though, Arkansas is a good football team. So this is going to be a really good game on Saturday.
Really good game. Looking forward to it. One of those teams is going to be 4-0 and feeling very good about themselves. And you're right. The recent history of this is it's been a dogfight, even though A&M's gotten the wins. They've been close competitive games. And quite frankly, I like Arkansas in this spot this time around. A couple of things in their favor. If you look at explosive plays, which coaches like to, in terms of runs over 20 yards, passes over 30, they're a plus 11 through three games over what their opponents are doing, and they're also plus 3 turnover margin. So you put those two things in your favor, and you're not, you know, getting whipped at the line of scrimmage play in, play out, in addition to having the big plays, then I think they've got a fine chance to win.
This is I'm really interested in this game because, you know, when you look at the strength of Arkansas, it's here's Sam Pittman, a guy who came over from Georgia. He's very physical by nature. He wanted to bring that physicality. He hires Kendall Briles to run his offense. And on the surface, Pat, and I don't know what your thoughts were, but you think, okay, this is going to be a lot of, you know, four verts or one guy running deep in a one-on-one matchup and everyone's standing still, and we'll see a lot of the stuff that Baylor did. But the reality is Kendall has formation-wise, he's been aggressive, but at the heart of their offense, they still want to get downhill on you. And I think it's interesting that Kendall Briles has adapted to what his head coach wanted so effectively.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they're a well-coached team, no doubt about it. And they have established that identity, I think, very quickly, going from a Chad Morris regime where I didn't think they were very tough and physical at all. And now, I mean, they can control the line of scrimmage. And you're right, Kendall Briles is, you know, coming from his dad's lineage, you think, oh, he's just going to want to throw it 50 times a game, but they've done a very good job of playing to their strengths and playing to what Sam Pittman wants. And that's, you know, an offensive line that's big and physical, and you can just kind of keep things in control there. And also, I think it's a reflection of their quarterback, KJ Jefferson, who's had a good season but is not a 40-50 throw-a-game guy. I mean, if he is, then you're probably in a little bit of trouble there. So, going to the sound that you guys had there from Sam Pittman, we want to stay out of third and long. Well, the reason, you know, KJ Jefferson is not a guy that's just going to drop back and throw 15-yard bullets all the time. So I think that they're playing to their strengths extremely well, and Barry Odom on the defensive side has done a very good job with that unit as well.
Yep, Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Rotary Lombardi Awards. Alabama rehab, I don't know how well it's going. It went well for Lane Kiffin. It went well for Sark. I don't know how well it's going for Bill O'Brien. They didn't reach 400 yards, and they had three straight three and outs, Pat. I can't imagine what that headset was like. What is Alabama right now offensively with Bill O'Brien leading them?
Well, I mean, I would say I think that if the headset was melting down, it was more when Alabama was playing defense and giving up 258 rushing yards, which doesn't happen to a Nick Saban team. The last time it did was 2014 against Ezekiel Elliott in Ohio State in the college football playoff. Offensively, I think they're going to be okay. Yeah, they had some misfires for sure at points in that game, and that's what helped make that game closer than it perhaps looked like it was going to be. Is they got off to a fast start and couldn't sustain it. Florida made some adjustments. But still, look, you're dealing with a quarterback who started three football games and didn't have any tangible playing experience last year. You lost the Heisman Trophy winner. You lost four or five first-round NFL draft picks on offense alone. It's going to take a little while, so I wouldn't hit the panic button yet on Alabama's offense.
You know, an offense that you don't have to hit the panic button on at all because they're so effective is Ole Miss. They play with tempo. They got a quarterback who I think is going to be a sneaky watch. You know, somebody who writes up draft profiles. I'm really interested to get to tape on Matt Corral this year and take a look at him because I like the way he throws the football. And I'm kind of curious if there's a team, and I know Georgia's obviously the team that's going to challenge Alabama, but do you give Ole Miss a shot because of their offensive explosiveness?
Sure. Yeah, I do. And especially, you know, again, what we saw from Alabama's defense against Florida. I mean, susceptible on the ground. And one thing, like, yeah, Matt Corral can absolutely sling it. And he is one of those guys that if you need him to throw it 50, he's fine throwing it 50 times. But they can run this year, too. I mean, they've had balance offensively. Incredibly explosive. They can, you know, big plays. They can keep a defense completely off balance. So they're intriguing. They really are, because their defense has improved significantly, and I think it gives them a chance in games like against an Alabama. It's not just we've got to score 50 points to have a chance to beat a good team. I think that you can score 35 or 40 and beat a good team if you're Mississippi. So really interested to see them as we progress here. And I agree, like, Matt Corral is like a big game against Alabama away from becoming the Heisman Trophy favorite at this point, because I'm looking around saying, I don't know who else I'd vote for.
Yeah, I mean, it is bereft right now. All the big names that we thought were going to be there, they're coming up short. Pat Forty with us here, brought to you by the Rotary Lombardi Awards. Pat, yesterday the College Football Expansion Committee says it's stalled again. They can't make up their mind. They're going to meet again next week in Chicago, I guess. They're going to try to continue discussions. But what's holding this thing up?
Ego, arrogance, obstinance, pettiness, usual stuff in college football.
Yeah, sounds about right.
You know, I mean, frankly, you know, I think this was a direct protest to the SEC expanding, adding Texas and Oklahoma, you know, gutting the Big 12 and basically doing it all without having anybody having any idea it was happening. So I think that and a backlash towards ESPN, which I think people think was part and parcel of the whole realignment scenario. So I think this is mostly them saying, you're not going to get everything you want, and especially we do not want ESPN to have the whole contract for this. We want Fox involved or CBS or NBC or anybody but just ESPN. So we're going to put the brakes on what you guys want to have happen. I think we'll eventually get there. I don't know if it's going to be 8. I don't know if it's going to be 12, possibly even 16, although I think it's highly unlikely. But this was, I think, a direct shot at Greg Sankey and at ESPN saying, wait a minute, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to have our say on how we think this thing should happen.
One of the things I found interesting is North Carolina, most notably, as a team, said, nope, we don't want the playoff should be 4 teams. But I heard that from a couple other teams. Were you surprised that there were players who came out and were actually against the expansion of the playoffs?
I was, yeah, because most players don't have a very good chance of getting in it unless you expand it.
Right.
I mean, if you go to Alabama, you can say, yeah, 4 is fine. Ohio State, Clemson, okay. But otherwise, I would be arguing hard for a bigger playoff if you want to be in it. I do understand players are not thrilled about the possibility of playing 16, 17 games and the injury potential when their eyes are mostly on going to the NFL, if you're a good player. So I understand that. But I still think if you have aspirations for success in college, you want a bigger playoff because you want to be in it. And right now it's hard to get in it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Clemson, 14 against Georgia Tech, 3 against Georgia, I get. But what's with their offense?
Yeah, but aren't they going to start scoring at some point?
At some point, but they're not.
But their offensive line's a problem right now.
Yeah, I would start with the offensive line. Offensive line is not good. It's pedestrian at best. It was bad last year too. And then Big DJ, as talented as he is, he's not Trevor Lawrence. And so he's struggling at this point. His confidence is probably a little bit rocked. They finally got him running the ball a little bit against Georgia Tech. You know, everybody talked about how, you know, he's big, strong, athletic, fast. Well, he hadn't run with any authority so far in his career. They finally got him going some, although he also had a red zone fumble. So, you know, that part of their game between Travis Etienne is no longer there, and they don't have quarterback run games. So their running game in general is not good. And they've got talented wide receivers, but they just have not been able to get on the same page with DJ and make that thing go. But it is shocking to me that they are not better offensively. And the only thing is they're playing in a conference where they can get away with it. I think they could be 11-1 at the end of the regular season and still not be very good.
No, I wonder if, and I don't know. I don't know if they're playoff worthy right now, and that'd be something. That'd be something. Pat Forte, brought to you by the Rotary Lombardi Awards every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pat, we appreciate you being here again. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thank
There's
you.
Pat Forte right here. Dana Holgerson is going to join us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Right.
But first,
yeah, I want to talk about Simple Seats. So if you go to simpleseats.com, simpleseats.com, you can find, I'm kind of curious, I want to see if the prices have changed. Looking at the other, no, still $19. $19 can get you into the Texans. If you look at tonight, if you want to take a look at the field level, $45 can get you into the field level. $45 on Simple Seats. And here's the great thing, mezzanine and loge, $45 there as well. And with the other companies out there, all the brand name companies that you've heard for so long, they throw convenience fees and transaction fees and these different fees. That's how they make their money. They don't do that Simple Seats. They just buy their tickets, they get their tickets, and then they have a price, and that's the price point. And sometimes the price is fluid and can go down before the game. You can check on that as well. But Simple Seats is never going to have a fee for you. Never will they have a fee. They have zone seating. If you want to just pick a zone, you can get the price a little bit cheaper, or you can pick exact seats if you like. They're based right here in Houston. The guy who started it worked for the Astros. He was on the business side. He understands how this works. And when you use the promo code Lance10, you are going to get an even deeper discount on purchases of $25 or more. So if you're going to the game tonight, you want to go to the game or you want to go to the Astros coming up, make sure you use the promo code Lance10 at simpleseats.com. Real simple. Easy to get your tickets, no fees, one click, stop and shop, simpleseats.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to bring in the head coach of the University of Houston, Dana Holgerson. He's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HRNP. Every week right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm a little tired. This West Coast baseball thing is... I love staying up watching the Astros, but gosh dang, man, especially when it goes into 12 innings, that makes for a extremely late night. I guess I'm thankful that we're in the Big 12 here in a couple years and not the Pac-12. That time zone's tough.
Yeah,
I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, you go to sleep and you watch in the morning. That's all. It was Coach that, okay, Coach, who's the Astros' best hitter?
That's such a tough question. I know this argument's been made a lot here lately, but currently it's Yuli. I mean, that dude's like, he's like 12 for 12 his last at bats or whatever it is. He's on fire right now. Clutch hitter. I don't know how you can say anybody other than Altuve. I mean, he's got so many dang clutch hits. It's ridiculous. What do you like the Tucker guy, huh?
It's almost impossible. Alvarez, Tucker, Correa.
Right. It can change in 10 days. Your answers on everything with Astros can change.
Yep. They got a lot of good problems.
Well, there's a reason why. There's a reason why, like, a really good batting average is, like, .333.
Yeah.
It comes in streaks, right? Like Yuli's on a really good hitting streak right now. But then he went through, what, 2 months of not doing real good or whatever it is. So it's very streaky. I don't know. Consistency in baseball is probably a little tougher than it is in football.
Yeah, you could say that. You know what? With 333 being great. Coach Dana Holgerson, brought to you by our guys over at Damaris Barbecue and HRNP. All right. Yeah, they got a wealth of riches, Coach. You got a guy with a hamstring. Okay, so Clayton Tune had to leave the game. Boku comes in. He does a nice job. Nice job. You get the win. Your defense plays great. What's the status, and where are you with your quarterback situation this week?
Yeah, it was you know, I didn't feel very comfortable. I probably mismanaged that a little bit. I said that after the game. I've said it throughout the course of the week. You know, Clayton Tune's our quarterback. Everybody knows that. I mean, if you watch his overall totality of how he practices every day and what the team thinks of him and all that, then you would understand that. I mean, people on the inside do, and that's really all that, at the end of the day, all that matters. Clayton's got to be able to, one, there's very few quarterbacks that can go out there, and I'm talking about current ones, whether they're college or pro. There's very few that can just go through the course of the week, not practice, you know, just like actually taking the reps. You take the mental reps, you can do it half speed, you start to lose timing. You know, he was probably half speed at the beginning of the week, three quarter speed towards the end of the week. You can't play like that. He's got to get the timing right. He's got to be able to cut it loose too. You know, he's a really mobile quarterback. I mean, whether, you know, we do things in the running game with him, but him keeping the thing alive and not taking a sack and getting 4 or 5 yards is critical to our offense. He couldn't do that. I think at one point I made the comment that I felt like I was very hamstrung with how I was calling plays. Well, I was. I wasn't calling plays worth a crap early. He wasn't executing it. So it looked bad. So we put out, again, Ike's never been in that situation his entire career. So people say, why didn't you have him in there from the very beginning? Well, if our starting quarterback says he can go, he knows his body better than I do. The doctors gave him the thumbs up. I don't make those decisions. So we went with the guy that played. Turned out it wasn't the right decision. I was very happy with how Ike went in and ran the offense. He's a very smart kid, 4.0 student, has been here for 3 years, just hasn't taken any reps. He went in there and he started ripping it. He looked really good. So I tell you what it does for our football team. It gives us confidence to call plays the way that we want to call plays. If our starting quarterback gets nicked up, then the backup goes in there. We don't skip a beat. We just keep on going.
You've got a really good-looking freshman running back in McCaskill. He had a big game against Grambling. Against Rice, he had 4 catches for 51 yards, touchdown, including a 35-yarder. How important is he? Because you're starting to you've stair-stepped his carries 4 to 14 to 16. Is he a guy that you're starting to feel comfortable with being able to carry even more of a workload moving forward and not just on early downs but being a 3-down back for you?
Yeah, if he can handle it, Lance. I think with a true freshman, you don't really know.
Right.
We knew he was talented. I mean, this kid had every offer in the country. I mean, he had Alabama, USC, and Oklahoma State, just to name a few. You know, COVID prevented him from going anywhere. So just a Houston kid that at the end of the day said, you know what, it's just easier for me to stay here. You know, mom's important. You got a little brother that's important, and he lives up in Conroe and, or, you know, up in Spring. So it's important for him to stay home. We knew we were getting a talented kid. He's 6'2", 210. He's the most talented freshman I've ever had, you know, in my 20-year career. But, you know, he's picking up blitzes. He's running the ball hard with good pad level. I mean, 6'2", he runs like Eric Dickerson. You know,
He's a big, upright, angular body guy.
Yeah, tall.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's Eric Dickerson. I'm just saying he runs like him with his pad level. But he's learning to get his pads low. He's a very physical kid. He can outrun people. He ran a 10.500 in high school. And I think we're going to be talking about him for quite some time. I don't know how he holds up throughout the course of the season. It's a long season. Physically and mentally, I think he can do it. But we're just going to have to... I mean, we got some other good backs that can pick up the load if he needs a little bit of a break.
I can tell you this, that behind the scenes, I've seen Coach Wild recruiting, and he was really excited when McCaskill said he was coming.
That's a dude.
He is a dude.
Man, dude, and when you get a dude who's a freshman also, that's like, you know, you got him for at least 3 years. That's a good feeling. Yeah.
You got Navy this week. You're struggling, Coach. What are you seeing on tape?
Well, Navy's still Navy. You know, I reference what they did last year. 2 years ago, they won 11 games, and they had an NFL quarterback, which you don't say that about Navy very often, but they did. And they were really good 2 years ago, and they scored a lot of points and won 11 games. Last year, they started out, they lost a bad game to BYU. BYU blew them out. They lost to Air Force, and then they won three conference games in a row before we played them. Okay, and then when we went up there, we beat them 38-13, and kind of shut them down for the year. But they did kind of get their stuff together after a bye week and won three conference games. So that's the position that they're in right now. They've had a bye week. They didn't play last week. And then they're coming to Houston. So, yeah, those guys coach pretty good. They have 200-and-some kids on their team, whether it's their varsity team or their junior varsity team. I'm sure they had a lot of tryouts, and they're going to fix something. I don't know what they're going to fix, but they're going to fix something. So you better be on guard for what they do. Now, I think defensively we got a really good plan for what they do. They've tried to throw the ball a little bit more than they have in the past. I doubt they try to do that based on what happened for the first two games. So we got to prepare for that, you know, defensively, which you know, we only got to prepare for it once a year, but we did a phenomenal job against them last year. And then we just got to keep improving offensively. You know, we need consistency at the quarterback spot. We need to block people up front. We need to execute a little bit more consistently. So it's an opportunity to play a conference game, and we're excited about it.
I think you should. Yeah, here's a game plan I'm going to give you. Okay,
coach, get a pen.
Get a pen out. Get the ball to Dell. Okay, I just think you should do that this week. All right, that's just me.
Get a pen.
You got the pen out?
I got it out.
All right, get the ball to Nathaniel Dell because he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He is. He's all of about 5'7", 155 pounds. You know, he wasn't big enough to go anywhere out of high school, so he went to Alabama State. And after three games, he goes, I'm a little bit too good for this level. So he redshirted, and went to junior college, played for a year, you know, came here. And last year didn't count. So he's a 3-for-3, four-year junior college transfer. That was a qualifier that is lightning in a bottle now. I mean, he is as quick as anybody I've ever seen. He comes in and out of his cut. His nickname's Tank. Because he thinks he's the toughest guy in the room. So we'll get the ball to number one. I don't know how or how many times we'll definitely try to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's 7, 7, and 8 catches and even more targets. And that's a good thing. That dude is explosive. He's fun to watch. No, McCaskill with those two weapons and Trahan as well. I mean, you got yourself some nice weapons, coach. So. Hey, good luck this week against Navy, man. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
Coach Dana Holgerson right here every week. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HRP. You're looking for a place to go watch your Cougs. You're going to a place to go watch your NFL team. They got great wing deals going on there. That's at 610 and 290 right there. And, of course, you've got HRP. Which we love and we tout every single day right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's 9 o'clock, 8:58, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. We get back to Texans talk on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.